This is a message that was recorded at Word of Life, a London City Church in Lewisham, London. May God bless you as you listen.
Without wasting much time, I just want to quickly share with us today. Our theme for this month has been, you know, being conformed to the image of Christ, and we took our scriptures from Romans chapter 8. And I was actually trying to think, well, how does this, what God has given me, you know, how does it relate to what's happening today? And I believe there's a way in which it relates, and I'm sure we will find that as well as we go along. And I've titled my message today, Understanding the Meaning for Your Existence. Understanding the meaning for your existence. I believe a few people came up to give thanks, to thank God for what he has done. You know, I'm sure if we have an understanding of why we are here, of our existence here, we will have more cause to thank him in spite of whatever you're going through, whatever is going on around you. And I've taken my scriptures from Romans 8, 28 to 29. I'm sure we're going to look at several scriptures as well within that short time. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 to 29. I'll quickly read. And it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For he says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." All things work together for good. You see, we were talking about the number of nations that are here. You know, we in the world generally, here in Word of Life, I understand we have about 11 different nations here now, seated here. You know, but in the world generally, we have about 195 countries, you know, in this world. And also, we have about 7.6 billion people in the world, in which you and I, we are one of them. You know, we make the statistics of this world. You know, we come from different nations, diverse nations. We have 11 people here sitting together, thanking God, you know, for his goodness, for bringing us here. But we have to know and understand the reason for our existence. You see, and I want to say that there is no one out of all these 7.6 billion people that God made, including you and I, none of us is a mistake. Nobody is a mistake. You know, nothing God made is a mistake. You are a person of value. Whatever anybody has said to you, whatever has happened, I'm here to tell you today, as we thank God, as we celebrate that, you know, God specifically sent you here to do something valuable. You know, you may not realize it, but I tell you that you are here for a purpose. We're singing that song, you know, when Pastor raised that song, I thought, oh, that actually just sinked in, even with my message, you know, where it says you're a chosen generation, you know, and it says, you know, I know who I am. Do you really know who you are? Do you really know you are, who you are? That's one of the questions, you know, that you need to be able to answer. And I've just realized that there are five questions which we must answer if we are going to really understand the meaning for our existence. You see, these five questions, the poorest people on earth, they're struggling to answer this question. The richest people on earth, they're struggling, finding meaning for this question. The people in the palace, they're struggling to understand this question. This question is what has made a lot of leaders in the world. This question is what has made, is what motivates even pastors, that motivate people generally in the world. It's this question that motivates even young people. When you see people doing drugs, it's these five questions that everybody is searching. They're searching for an answer, you know, to this question. I'm sure some of us at one point in our life, We've thought about these five questions, or we've heard somebody share about these five questions. And I want to just bring this question again, because these questions, they're the questions that people have answered in one way or the other. They're the ones that create industries. They're the ones that made all kind of things. They're the ones that, you know, make the music industry. You know, it makes manufacturing industry. It's the ones that when you look at big building, because somebody answered that question. When you see the aeroplane flying, somebody answered that question. This is the question that even young people are trying to answer. And what are these five questions? These questions that have created good leaders. These questions that have created even corrupt leaders. They're so important if we're going to understand the reason why we're here. The first question is, who am I? Who am I? And this question, you know, is a question of identity. That's why I said when pastors chose that, I said, well, you know, I know who I am. Do you really know who you are? Your identity is crucial in making a mark in life. You need to know who you really are. Are we just singing that song, or you really truly know who you are? Do you know who you are? Because if you don't know who you are, the world will tell you who you're not. You see, many people identify, you know, their identity is defined through the media, through what we go on. The world is trying to tell us who we are meant to be. Because there's this thing in man that you want to know who you are. But the world is trying to give you a definition through the media, through what we hear, you know, through the politics, you know, political correctness. Everything in the world is trying to define you. They're trying to define the young ones. Even from the young age, you hear people, you know, because they think their sex, you know, define them. You hear from as little as 5, 6, they talk about transgender. It's just this same question people are trying to answer. You know, trying to find who they are. Who am I? Do you know who you are as a person, as a child of God? If you don't know who you are, your life circumstances will tell you who you are not. You see, when you face challenges in life, it will want to define who you are. It will want to give you an identity. But I'm here to tell you that your circumstance, your situation does not define you. My next question is, where did I come from? And this is a question of origin, a question of heritage. What is my source? You see, these questions are so key, because when you start answering those questions, you start having a deep understanding for the meaning for your existence. Where did I come from? How would you decide, you know, when in time to attribute your origin? You see, on your passport, you know, they ask, you know, what's your place of origin? Is it your place of birth? Or is it where you've grown up for such a long time? You know, where is your source? Or is it from your mom or your father? Something happened to me, you know, and it's some of those questions I started to question, you know, at one point in my life. That was when I lost my sister. It's just, you know, when things, it doesn't have to come to that before you ask yourself these questions. I lost my sister, and it seems my whole world just fell apart. I started to find out many questions. Who am I really? Why am I even here? And that's the same way I tell you that circumstances will try to define who you are, or what's happening around. You know, where did you come from? And where are you going? You know, I started asking questions. Then I realized that, you know, there is more to me than just coming, you know, from my mother's womb. You know, there is more to you than that. Yes, you might try to say, well, this is your source. Yes, they gave birth to you. You're from Africa. You're from Nigeria, Namibia. You're from, is that your source? Is that actually where you began from. You know, when they talk about Jesus, we thought Jesus was crucified 2,000 years ago. The Bible says it was the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. You know, and this scripture we read, it said God has predestined you, which means from even before you were born, God knew you. So where did I come from? Then my next question is, why am I here? Why am I here? This is the question of purpose. So if asked, how would you answer what your purpose is in this life? Do you derive your answer from your goals and aspirations? Or is it from your responsibilities, maybe at home, as a parent? Or is it as a student or in your workplace, whatever your role is that what defines your purpose? You know, how can you really define your purpose? You know, and my question is, how can us that are finite, in the sense that you have a beginning, how can you in your own self define your own purpose? How can you define your purpose? Because you are finite. I am conscious that, you know, you're about to have a love feast. We're about to have a love feast downstairs. We're about to eat food. But I want to just give us some food for thought. Amen. Food for our mind as well. The food that will also give you a search. You start searching and start finding answer for the reason why you're here. And it will give you more reason to thank God. Amen. I've asked three questions. The fourth one is, what can I do? And this is the question of your potential. There's a man that once lived, that not too long ago. He's the one that says that, you know, 90% of people would die without achieving 10%, you know, without achieving 10% of their ability. What do you think you can? We're singing that song, you know, that I know who I am. I'm walking in power. I'm walking in miracle. You know, I live a life of favor. Are we seeing that truly? Do you know your ability, if you're asked? Do you know what you can do? And are you walking in it? This is a question that we need to be able to answer. The question of your potential. What can I do as a person? You see, there's no one, like I said from the start, everybody is valuable. It doesn't matter how you began. It doesn't matter how your source is. You know, some people, because maybe you were born out of wedlock, it doesn't matter. You are born as a valuable. God has a reason. You see, it is scientifically proven that, you know, when a man and woman meet, you know, I understand it's from at least 40 million to about 1.2 billion sperms that were released, you know, at that time. And you were one of those. And God chose you. It's not that, you know, there were millions of them going. He said, no, this is the time for him. It doesn't matter how it happened, but God made it happen. So even that you are alive is a success in itself. It shows that you're on an assignment. God has a purpose and he has given you a reason. There's a reason why he has created you. And he's put values in you. So what can I do? Do you know what you're capable of as a child of God? And my last question is, where am I going? It's a question of destiny. Do you know where you're going? Have you given it any thoughts lately? You see, if you don't know where you came from, it will be difficult for you to actually know where you're going. It will be difficult. So I'm asking, where are you going? Where am I going? You know, some people, you know, when we're talking about where did I come from, the world trying to answer that question, I'm sure some of us have heard it, in which they says we came from a salamander that turns into a monkey, that people, you came from a salamander that turns into a monkey, or tadpole, then turned to a monkey, and turned to a human being. Would you say that is where we came from? Then you think, so where is the end? Where are you going from there, you know? Amen. So these five questions are so key. They're important for us to know the meaning for our existence. And quickly, because of time, you know, Jesus Christ was not exempted from answering these five questions. We will see, and that is where the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And you will see him. You see the world actually trying to, you know, they try to stir up, asking him that question. You know, and him was boldly, confidently declaring it. Who am I? For Jesus, that question, who am I? Several places in the Bible. We haven't got time, we cannot read it. He was always declaring who he was. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, no one comes to the Father except through me. That is Jesus. He knew who he said, I am the way, the truth, the life. I don't know whether you're here today, you feel lost, confused, and life appears to have no bearing for you. I urge you to come to him because Jesus knows who he is. He said, I am the way, the truth. And maybe that is your beginning. That's where it starts of you actually finding out who you really are. He says also, he says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. That is Jesus. He knew who he was. He declared so many times, I am the light of the world. And I'm here to say to you, do you in your own self feel like your life is full of darkness? Confusion. You cannot see the future. I'm beckoning you to come to him because he said, I am the light of the world. I bring to you Jesus, who is the light of the world. In John 9:5. He says, as long as I am the world, I am the light of the world. So come and receive light for your path. He also said, I am the bread of life. That's in John 6:35. He said, he who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. That's in John 6:35. I don't know whether today, I'm not talking about physical hunger. There's a hunger within you that seek for more. You know, there's a thirst. You know that there's more than this. You're struggling with so many things. You have different challenges one way or the other. But Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He says, anyone that come to me is ready to fill you. He's the only one that can satisfy you. See that thirst you have. There's a woman Jesus met by the well, you know, and Jesus asked, because Jesus was trying to reach out to her, she said, you know, give me some water. And she was being difficult that way. Who are you to be asking me for water? And Jesus said to him that, you know, the water that I give you, if you drink it, you will never thirst again. You see, that woman, she had had about, is it 7 husbands or so? Jesus was trying, five husbands, I've added some to eat. Amen. you know, I'm trying to tell you how difficult, how God, Jesus knew the secret things that you do not know, that she didn't know, that a stranger would know. And Jesus was trying to find a way of associating with her challenges, you know. And Jesus was able to, he said, I've got, she knew that there was a longing. She also knew that it was more than the water she was coming to fetch. Maybe you've been going around, you're working, you're searching, you want to marry, you have a husband. You think those things will satisfy, you know, this longing in your heart. You think sometimes you're hungry, you think it's food hunger. It's not. There's this panging in your soul. And you think, oh, it's because I need a job. Oh, you think, oh, it's because I need money. I just need this thing. Oh, you think, oh, no, it's so that it might be well with my child. But there's this longing, this panging in your heart. Jesus is saying that I am the bread of life. Sometimes some people were running around looking for him. He said, you're looking for me You see, they wanted physical food. He said, seek the food. There's a food, bread I will give you, that when you eat it, you will never be hungry again. It's not talking about physical hunger. So Jesus knew who he was. In John 10, 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. Then this other question, looking at time, where did I come from? Where am I from? Jesus also answered this question. In John 16, 28, he says, I came forth from the Father. He was referring to God. He knew his beginning. He said, and I've come into the world. I leave the world and go to, he said, I've come to the world. Then he said, I leave the world and go to the Father. Jesus knew where he came from. Therefore, he knew where he was going. You know, I said, if you don't know where you came from, you would not know your destiny. But Jesus, he said, I knew I came from the Father. You know, when he started saying these things, people were confused because some people knew his parents. You know, they said, how can you say you came from that? We knew when you were born yesterday, and look at you telling us this. Who are you? You know, but he knew his beginning. He knew where he came from. You know, Jesus knew where he came from. If you read from John 6, 33, 38, 41, he said, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. He knew he came down from heaven. He wasn't just the son of the carpenter. It wasn't just, you know, Jesus, the son of Mary, you know, and Joseph. He said, for I have come down, in verse 38, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And that was in verse 41 and 42. They said the Jews complained about him because he said, I come down from heaven. And said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? You see, people might have identified you with just your parents, but I'm telling you, your beginning is your where you came from is deeper than that. You see, when I started identifying that, I started a story about myself. When my sister died, I just, so many questions started popping in my heart. You know, I started identifying myself beyond my physical family. I saw that there was a reason for me being here. Just the same way there's a reason for you being here. You know, God said to answer even deeper questions that I could ask. You know, I knew that I was not just, you know, a man born in Nigeria to my family, because that limits me. If I see that as my beginning, it limits me. You know, I see myself as one that's been predestined even from the foundation of the world. That's what God did from the beginning of the world. You know, God has said that you're going to be here at this time, and he has a purpose for your life. So you cannot limit yourself just to your parents. You can't limit yourself to wherever you think you came from, whether is it France, England, Poland, you know, wherever it is. There is more to you than that. You know, there's a beginning that is beyond your birth. And you need to know, you need to search it. Then you know that you came from God. There's a maker, you know, of heaven and earth that created you and birthed you for a reason, for a purpose. What can I do? No, sorry. Why am I here? Jesus knew why he was here. In John 6, they said, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Said, this is the will of the Father who sent, that all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up on the last day. That is the place of security. If you can't be with Jesus, he said, everyone God has, he said, I will lose none of them. Where is your place of shelter? You know, Jesus, he knew why he was here. He knew his purpose on earth. He said he has come to give life. In John 10:10, he said, the thief come not but to steal, to kill. But he said, I am come that they may have life and have it in abundance. Are you deficient of life in any way? Jesus said, I know why I'm here. I'm here to give life in John 10:10. Is the enemy, anything that is stealing from you, anything that seems to be killing your situation, killing your vision, killing your future, it's not God. You can never attribute it to God. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it in abundance. And I prophesy life into every situation in the name of Jesus. I prophesy life into every person under the sound of my voice in the name of Jesus. Everything you lay your hands on, whatever the enemy has been stealing from you, whether it be in your marriage, whether it be in your family, your children, I say in the name of Jesus, receive life from God. Receive the life that Jesus has come to give in the name of Jesus. Jesus knew why he was here. What can I do? Jesus said, you know, in John 5, see this scripture, Jesus is life. If you read the book of John, you read the gospel, it's full of what Jesus could do. There's so much he can do. There's nothing impossible with him. He said, if you believe, all things are possible to him that believe. In John 5, it was just from verse 27, let me just read from verse 27 to 30. He says, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. He said, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. He said, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. I am come that they may have life and have in abundance. That's John 10:10. So that one, what Jesus was saying, that I can give life. You know, if you're dead, if your situation is dead, I can resurrect it. When Lazarus died and he met Martha and Mary, they said, oh, if he had come. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. What is the difficult situation you have today? What is so challenging? Jesus said, I am. You see, you're talking about death. You're talking as if I am late. I can never be late, because I myself that have appeared before you, I'm the resurrection and the life. That is deep. I'm not sure if Mary understood what it was, because Mary was like, oh, if he had come. You see, maybe in your heart you're thinking, well, maybe it was 2 years ago, my life would have been different. You know, maybe if this has happened, Jesus is saying, I am the resurrection. I can raise the dead. Someone that has been dead for 4 days, he brought him back to life. That is what he's capable of doing. So what is it that you face? What challenge is it that you face today? Don't ever doubt him. He can do all things. All you need to do is believe. Then he says, where am I going? John 14 from 1 to 4. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. See, Jesus knew where he was going. He said, and where I go, you know, and the way you know. You see, that is an blessed assurance. You see, the world will tell you all kinds of things. They can tell you that people will tell you, well, once you die, that's it. You know, that's the end. You see, because they don't have an answer to the question of destiny. But Jesus, he knew where he was going. He said, I'm going. I'm going to prepare a place for you and me. Are you already with him? Or does your heart still question that, well, what's going to happen to my future? He is the future, he's the Alpha and the Omega. You know, he says that I go to prepare a place for you. You can have an assurance in him that your future is secured. You know, your destiny is secured in him. In John 16:16, that's where he repeated, he said, a little while and you will not see me. And again, a little while and you will see me because I go to my Father. He knew where he was going. You see, I've used Jesus because of time as an example of, you know, how he knew where he was going. And the Bible says he's the author and the finisher of our faith. There's something that is so key in Jesus answering all those questions. Something to note. You see, in answering those questions, you will see that Jesus, he was all those questions, answering them, it was not about himself. It was a selfless life. You see, I think I've said this in church before, when one time I was given the privilege to preach, that there was nothing made for itself. You see, why the world is going in the wrong place is because all we are seeking is because of self-gain, because of yourself. But Jesus said, I am the bread of life, because he was here to give something. You see, nothing was made for itself. This microphone wasn't made because of itself. It was made so that you can use it for something. If you start, that is the beginning of you understanding the meaning of your existence. Knowing that you're not here for yourself. Does that mean you're going to lose out? You are never. That's how you can find fulfillment. When you start seeking, looking outward, and stop looking inward. Stop thinking of yourself with self-pity. Thinking that, oh, it's all about me. It's all about my family. It's about him. It's about the assignment which he has given you. It's for a purpose he has created you for. And that is where you can find fulfillment. That is where you can find joy. That is where you can find purpose. You know, the devil makes you, and that's the world teaches us differently. And that's why you cannot find answer to all these questions. That's why the world is in a chaos now. You see, it's in a chaos. And one more thing I wanted to mention is that, you see, when a manufacturer makes a product, I just put up a chest of drawers 2 days ago. When I opened the parking, the first thing I saw was a manual. You see, every product, they will give you a manual for it. And that manual, when you open it, it says, before you operate this product, read me completely. How many people reads it? Most people don't. They just say, oh, you know, you all have iPhone, Samsung. You don't ever read it. You just take it and start. Then when you start having problems, say, oh, what is wrong with it? You start going around. Sometimes you spend some. You could have read the manual. It would have given you all the answer. Where am I going? The creator of heaven, you cannot define your purpose by what you do, by your aspiration and goal. You cannot in your own self. Who is the manufacturer? God, creator of heaven and earth. He made you and I, and he's given us a manual, and he's saying, read it completely. Read it if you want to know who you are. Read it if you want to know where you came from. Read it if you want to know what you can do. Read it if you want to know where your destiny is. Read it if you want to know your potential. If you want to know where you came from. You see, this is the manufacturer's manual. When you talk about manufacturer's manual, it talks about the maker's mind. But the world don't read this. And that is why there's so much wrong doctrines. Not just in the church. I mean, publicly, everybody has an answer. Whatever people just think, they say, no, this is how we should do it. This should be right. You see, when the manufacturer, when he gives you a manual, there are two things in it. I mean, at least two, three things. It will tell you that, well, it will give you promises of how this will work that can guarantee you will work this way. Then it will also give you laws of what you should not do. Like if you have a pressing iron, it will tell you, do not operate near water. I mean, you can decide that, well, let me try it. Why can't I, you know, put it in water? You know what would happen. You understand? You know, it gives you promises and laws. Men are the only one. Humans, they never want to read the manufacturer's manual. We give it all kinds of reasons what we can do. It's about me. Whatever I think in my heart, that is what is right. But do you know, once you know that you cannot make yourself, somebody made you. look for the manufacturer's manual. Start to seek him today. Seek what he has to say about you. Most of the challenges we face in the world is because people are rewriting, you know, what their maker have written about them. They want to say, well, no, it has to be this, but this is what. And that is why, probably, like I said, you don't put a pressing iron in water and turn it on. It's going to be electrocuted. And many people have been electrocuted because we're forming all kind of laws in the world. We're telling ourselves, we're telling the world. It becomes public, politically right. So many things that is against the manufacturer's manual. I urge you today, if you want to answer those questions, seek the manufacturer's manual. You did not make yourself. You didn't just appear. Like some people will make you believe that you don't. Somebody made you. You know, to answer those questions, seek the manufacturer's manual. I can tell you this is the manufacturer's manual, the word of God. You see, it's not an adulterated word. You know, God made it possible for it to be put together. You know, and the manufacturer, they will tell you that if there is any defect in this product, put it together and send it back to us. We guarantee you we will. But most of the time, when we have defects, we're looking for answers different places. I tell you, if you don't take anything away from today, you want the meaning for your existence, go back to God, the Word of God. He has the answer to all the questions that your heart may have. It is the purpose for your existence.
If you have been blessed by this message, please don't hesitate to contact us at www.wordoflife-lcc.org. And remember, God loves you.